Let's go to Revelation 12 a minute. Verse 15. Well, you'll see something in Revelation that's repeated over and over again. And it's always, woe unto those that are dwelling on the earth. Now, spiritually, the question is, where are you dwelling? If you're in Christ, and if He is your life, then you're seated, you're dwelling in the heavenly places. You're seated with Him on the mercy seat. So you're no longer dwelling on the earth. But you can say that theoretically, but really the test of whether or not you continue with Him and His tests are whether or not you give breath to anything, importance to anything that's perceived by your senses. And so we're going to study woes, some woes in Revelation 6. But I want you to get this in your mind, what it means with regard to where you dwell. Where do you dwell? The evidence that you dwell on the mercy seat is that nothing can interrupt the peace. Temptation to get off the mercy seat is really all that life is about, to try to not get off it, and if you do, to instantly repent. Instead of dwelling in self, solutions in self, or even solutions for the sensory issues where you think you're going to get God's help. Now listen, in verse 15. No, that's not true. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, the reason that Satan fell is, and you can go look it up, it's in Isaiah 14. It's the five I's. I will, I will, I will. And I don't feel like talking about that now, but and prevailed not, neither was her place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Done deal. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, you hear people repeat that a lot. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's only half the sentence. And they loved not their lives unto death. They gave breath not unto their lives. Remember, loved here is a verb. Can you apprehend that? All right. I hope you can. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. That is where our dwelling place is. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. As long as you're dwelling on earth and making the predicate of your living, your sensory perceptions, what's happening to you and yours, and whether or not you're doing this or that, then you... I don't know how to say this. You're you're not living by faith is the basic thing. You're living by something other than faith. You're living by some form of the way you think things should be. Now, this is total. It isn't some little thing or some one thing over here. If you are giving breath, giving importance to the things that are you can perceive by your senses, then you're not dwelling in the heavens and you're not living by faith. Does that hit everybody? Do you understand it? Anybody disagree? Anybody not understand? Ronnie? Is this penetrating any part?
Yeah.
Do you agree with it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. Now, okay, so the predicate of what we're about to read in Revelation 6 is where you dwell. All right, now go back to Revelation 6. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, there's only a handful of places in the Bible where this particular word for Lord is used, and it's despotes, where we get the word despot. And it's important that you understand this is the aspect of the vengeance of God that these people are praying for. How long, O Lord, how long? Hold despotes until you avenge the blood. Now, that doesn't sound like a loving God. That doesn't sound like what we've been taught about God. Anybody have any response? Ho despot, despotes? Everybody understand it? What's going on?
This is like a funeral.
I'm talking to the ceiling again. What's going on?
It's like a funeral in here. Weird.
I know. What's going on?
What verse was that? That was 12.
In the verse I just read?
Yeah.
How long?
Wait,
verse 10.
Doesn't that right there in its say in itself, whenever it says how long,
how long are you not avenging?
Well, see, I've always thought that Revelations is to come.
That's the mistake that everybody makes. Two mistakes. One is that it's Revelations. And two, that it's to come. The book of Revelation is the overriding reality over all of time. It's always true. Because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, in spite of what you see.
But you think the complete book is finished?
It's already finished. He's simply waiting for you to acknowledge it, for you to take the seat on the mercy seat. Now, I know you're thinking about the war in Armageddon and the thousand-year reign, and it's already happened. Either everything is finished or it's not. And I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I think I can show you. But that's why I make fun of the people, the rapture people, so much.
So what about the second coming of Christ?
when he comes, he'll come in the cloud. And we'll rise up to meet him in the air, and we look behind us, and it's the end. All right, let's go to 2 Peter.
Well,
what?
Something happened between me and Michael yesterday, but I wanted to leave it outside to address it.
Okay. Can you put it outside?
Yeah.
All right. Because if you're not, then if you can't put it outside, then you got to go outside. Can you put it outside? Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3. I knew we weren't going to get anywhere today. Yeah, we've been making rapid progress since you've been gone. You know, we ought to probably spend some time, because probably the people that are listening and even people here, that's all you hear around anymore is the rapture. Are you being facetious? You're a lot.
Yeah,
there is no the rapture. It's the basis for all of the best-selling books, starting with Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, and now all the Left Behind series. And there's now, and even in NBC, their program, the book, the Revelations, is this war between good and evil.
Before that, people have anticipated the rapture.
That's not true. It wasn't even heard of until 1830.
What about the group of people that, like during one of the eclipses, all went to a mountaintop and
I don't know
thought that was the rapture?
Well, they thought the end was always, every apostle, every writer of the New Testament thought the end was going to be in the next few days. And they were right.
When Rome burned, the Christians threw a party and threw their furniture in the fire. They thought it was the end.
You know why the Roman Christians were finally persecuted in total? Because they did not care for humanity. That was their charge. Now, this is a big deal. Do you understand that if you read Paul's writings, or Peter's, or James, or John, that they all expected the end within their time period, right? You must understand that. Because the last day began when the sun set at his crucifixion. We've been in the last day ever since, and they knew it. There's nothing left to happen from God's perspective. But in His mercy, He is waiting until you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. But we've come up with this yo-yo theory that Christ is coming back again, and then we're going to rise up to meet Him, and we're going to be up there for a few days, then we're going to come back down, and we're going to set up the kingdom of God on earth. Then we're going to go back up again. Where did that come from? It came from a man named Darby in 1830, and everybody thought he was a kook. It would be beyond comprehension. Read the next issue of The Door. We have an interview with a scholar that talks about the rapture, hocus pocus. It's a theory that is invented that justifies what's called dispensationalism, so that if God is acting differently in this period of time than He acted in this period of time, and then He's going to act in this period of time.
So it's like God, like you say, God is same yesterday, today, and forever.
But they call it like the age of the Jews and the age of the Gentiles and the age of this and then the age of the rapture and then the age of a thousand-year reign and the age of this. There's always, God's always acting differently. And because he does, then because that's the predicate and the rapture is something that's going to happen in the future or the end is going to happen in the future, then that gives you time not to be in obedience now. You've got, because all these signs has to happen, these signs of the end. Well, they've already happened.
Well, now, what about whenever it talks about stars, you know, falling?
The stars falling, the stars have stopped giving their light. The stars, the meaning of the stars is the original meaning of astrology. Each of the 12 tribes of Israel had one of the signs of the zodiac on their staff. And as they read the meaning of the stars or the signs of the zodiac, then they... Are you listening? Are you reading ahead?
No, I'm listening. I'm listening. Signs of the zodiac.
Right. Well, but do you understand that each of the 12 tribes had one of the signs on their staff? That's how they camped in the wilderness?
Right.
And do you understand that the meaning of the signs of the zodiac were the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's what the 12 signs were? Now, they've stopped giving their light because now the 12 signs of the zodiac are intended to show you whether or not you should invest today or whether or not you're going to have a good day.
What about when it talks about, like, the nations, like, one-third of the nation of the people.
It's the stars. Again, the snake that is in the heavens.
Well,
that's I know what you're talking about. The snake covers one-third of the heavens on the signs of the zodiac. You can't possibly understand the book of Revelation without understanding the signs of the zodiac in their original form.
The question that the rapture answers is what's going to happen to us.
Yeah, it avoids you picking up the cross today. It's the same. Oh, the Jews are going to go be in the Jews, the Holy Land. That's that place any more holy than Peoria. It's latter day apostasies that are keeping the people from picking up the cross and their death and giving them time on earth for their own self realization. My God, when Christ said it's finished, or it's not. It's not something in between. Talk to your Bible study teacher about it. Well, there's 1,000 tapes down there you can listen to about the meaning of the stars and everything else. Let's look at the end, okay? Can you put a Revelation away for a minute now? Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. You can start at the first. It's even more so, but we don't have time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now everything in the universe happens, the end happens, when the only thing that hasn't happened is the seventh angel stands, when he stands up and he declares, time shall be no more. When there's no more time, there's no more space. So where are you going to get raptured to? Now this is the day of the Lord. There's only one thing called the day of the Lord in the Scriptures. The heavens being on fire shall melt with fervent heat. The elements shall melt, be dissolved in an instant. Listen. And the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and the word dissolved is vaporized, What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You ask the question and you're not paying a bit of attention. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to the promise, look for new heaven and a new earth, which dwelleth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now the new earth is it's the word for the earth, or just the new land, the new promise, which is the new Jerusalem. We look and only see the new Jerusalem as our overriding reality. No matter what our senses tell us. But anyways, I started to say, in this next issue of The Door, we have there's an interview by a woman named Rosling, who is she just explodes the rapture theory. There's all kinds of books about it, but it is. We've gone over this so many times that it's. I know you haven't been here when we did. But the book, there's the rapture hoax. There's a whole bunch of books about the hoax of the rapture. And I would highly recommend you read them, or at least one of them. At a minimum, read the... Is it Professor Rosling that's in this issue? Rosling. Well...
But she does kind of blow it apart.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's a scholar. She does it 1,000 times better than I do. But when did there get to be two judgment days? There's a judgment day on supposedly on when we're all raptured, and then there's another judgment day here when everything is destroyed. How did that happen? In order for that to happen, they have to have a week of time floating up in the air somewhere from Daniel 9. It's unfortunate, but it is the prevalent theology in our country. And the scholars, the people that can't understand how it could happen. We'll get back to Revelation 6 tomorrow. Anybody else have anything? And this has nothing to do with whether somebody is saved or not saved. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying there's going to be a lot of people surprised. Sure.
I was just saying, you know how it talks about how, like, half of the earth's inhabitants will perish, and one third of the
stars of heaven
will fall.
Well, why not? I tell you what. You look it up, which the exact scriptures that you want to talk about, and I'll talk with you about it later, okay? Because I think I can show you easily where you've been misled. All right.
The verse where it speaks of.
No, we don't have time now. So you're gonna come and talk to me, and we're gonna go through it verse by verse if necessary. I may have you listen to a bunch of tapes or read a bunch of stuff, but we've spent 30 years on this, so it's hard to do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All righty. Anybody else? I am going to spend some time on the rapture. Take it, big guy.